800-200-2079. 800-200-2079.
All investments involve risk, including losses. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
How do we make sure that Montana deserve to be in an accident, but you do deserve an advocate? MontanaAdvocates.com. That's MontanaAdvocates.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was hoping we'd see Senator Mike Cuff while we were here. State Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka. He's waiting in the wings. We'll chat with him here in a few minutes. But first up to the microphone here this morning, live from the Capitol, thanks to our friends at the Frontier Institute, we've got Representative Nellie Nickel out of Billings, House District 53. Representative Nickel, great to see you. Yeah, thanks for joining us here in the early morning hours.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you. It's been fun to catch up with so many different lawmakers. I couldn't even remember how many that we actually physically talked to yesterday for 4 hours of coverage. It was crazy. And but it's fun hearing about some of the different bills that lawmakers are working on an individual level. You know, some of the stuff that doesn't get all the news attention. What are some of those bills that you want to tell our listeners about?
Well, one of them is working on a bill to get the victims fund amount raised for victims that are murdered. For their burial costs. And that's something you really don't ever think about, but there is a fund that has $1.2 million in it, and it's all restitution money, so it's not coming from the state. It's all that has been worked off. And basically, they're trying to bury people for $3,500. And when you've already lost somebody, that's just, it's not okay to have to then go through paying for the burial and everything. So I've raised that cost up to $10,000. I actually present the third stage of that bill today on the Senate side. So it's already been through the House. So hopefully we'll get it through the Senate this time.
Oh, that makes sense. You know, it's kind of like we talked a lot about the red tape relief yesterday about, you know, peeling back some of these regulations that have been sitting there for 100 years or so that don't make any sense. And you think about there's also other things that are on the books that make sense, that need to be updated, that need to be modernized. And yeah, something that takes care of victims and their families. Because $3,500, I haven't checked out what the cost of a funeral is, but I suspect that nowhere near covers all the costs.
No, it does not.
Funeral.
Yeah, that price was from almost 20 years ago. So nobody has gone through and updated it. So there is a lot of things that have just kind of fallen through the cracks because they aren't the big picture items. They aren't things that people think about, and their constituents probably haven't said when they knocked on doors, oh, can you help out with funeral costs?
Yeah.
So it's not something you talk about every day.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Well, thanks for focusing on that because, yeah, victims of a crime and then their families, and that's the last thing they want to have to be worrying about is, oh, we didn't have coverage, and now we got to, right. You know, how are we going to pay for all of this? And oh, wait, there's this fund over here. There's restitution. It's not even, you know, taxpayers don't even have to pay a dime for it. And yeah, let's make sure that it covers more of the costs here. That just makes sense. What are some of the other bills that you're working on?
Well, there's another funeral one that I'm working on that to raise the minimum bar a little bit on life insurance for burial costs, just because some people are buying policies that are not underfunded, but they're cutting all these funerals short. So it's just expensive to bury people. These things have not been updated and costs continue to go up. So we need to keep up with it.
And sometimes you were telling me before we got out of the break too, that sometimes it's government regulations as well that drive up the costs of things like funerals and burial services. So as Montana's kind of doing this red tape relief initiative that the governor and the lieutenant governor have been talking about, even something like funeral costs could be a factor.
Oh, you're totally correct. I mean, it is, and there's just so much to do. I know Lieutenant Governor Juris has been working so hard to get all this, you know, everything together, and she's been showing up at all our hearings and testifying and backing all of her bills, and it's amazing. It's inspiring to watch. And
she's a hard worker.
Oh yeah, she really is, and it just keeps us all going too.
That's right. Big picture, what are you most pleased with so far during the legislative session, and what are you most hopeful for in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I'm really pleased with how kind everybody is. This is a tough job. And so as a team, you know, the 150 of us and all the staff too, it seems like everybody just really supports each other when we really need it, even if we don't agree on a topic, it doesn't seem to matter. And I really appreciate that. And then I'm looking forward to, we have a big work comp change happening this session, where we have two huge bills coming out, and one of them wraps up work comp and takes all the bureaucrats and pushes them off with $2 billion, and the other one takes and fixes our work comp system and puts $1.2 billion back into the state coffers. So I'm excited to see what happens there. Obviously, I would much rather have a free market and a competitive market, and I'd much rather have that $1.2 billion back into the state. I don't want to watch that ship sail out into nowhere. So
yeah, and you've got a background in the insurance industry, right? Too.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I think is a selling point for our citizen legislature, because I'll see, you know, like the Billings Gazette or somebody will be like, we'll try to take shots at some lawmakers. Well, they work in the insurance industry, and now they're working on these. Yeah. Well, we have farmers and ranchers that are working on agriculture committee issues, and we have veterans that are working on veterans issues. That's why we have a citizen legislature. So people who actually work in these businesses and have these backgrounds actually actually design and craft the laws because they have experience in these things and they know
exactly.
It, you know, and it's something that yes, it's personal to them. That's why they stepped up to run, right?
Exactly. I mean, if we don't use each other's strengths and all of our experience, then we're not doing this properly. So
Representative Nellie Nickel, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here in the early morning hours of the show. And keep us updated. If you ever want to call in on the show, even if we're not here at the Capitol, we typically keep the phone lines open so we can be timely with the news. So great to see you.
Thank you, and thank you for all the work you're doing. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Quick break. Back with Senator Cuff after this.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some sunshine and some developing clouds around areas towards Bozeman mainly, with a few snow showers possible near Bozeman as well later this afternoon. High temperature readings otherwise will stay up into the mid-20s across areas from Bozeman to Billings, along with some areas of blowing snow, especially towards Billings, as southwest winds will stay gusting at about 15 to 25. For tonight, chance for a few snow showers towards the Bozeman vicinity, otherwise staying with partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will bottom out to right around 13 in Bozeman to the upper teens in Billings. Then the outlook for Wednesday does call for partly to mostly sunny skies, highs around 32 degrees in the Bozeman area to the mid-30s in Billings. Partly cloudy skies take us into Wednesday.
201-6263, QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. That's 406-201-6263.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, this week, we're in New Orleans for the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show, and our coverage is brought to you by Neogen, the industry leader in beef cattle DNA testing. Build your cow herd for the future with Igenity Beef DNA testing that IDs 17 critical traits that aids in selection and management of commercial females. Use code radio to get 20% off your next order. And for more information, visit Neogen.com. This week, the Big Easy has been transformed into Moo Orleans, and the American National Cattle Women helped kick things off here in Louisiana. ANCW President Reba Mazik from Florida told me yesterday that they're very proud to be celebrating their 70th anniversary this year of promoting beef like the original cowbells and more.
We still stand on those three pillars that we were organized on, and that is beef education, promotion and development, and legislative. But now we go to Washington, D.C., and we represent some cattle producers because we are cattle producers ourselves, so many of us. And with social media and the changing of times, we've learned to accommodate people through that as well. We just have been able to stay in our organization and do well because we're used to changing with what happens.
And at the conclusion of their meetings this week here in New Orleans, Arizona's Pam Griffin will be installed as ANCW president for the coming year. Now, for more information about the American National Cattlewomen, you can visit ANCW.org. Of course, we've had some ANCW presidents from our region recently, like Montana's Wanda Pinto and Wyoming's Gwen Geis. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hi, this is Bailey with Papa Sean, and we'd like to invite you to Booth's Cherry Creek Ranch 50th Annual Progress Through Performance Bull Sale, Thursday, February 9th, 1 o'clock at our ranch sale barn near Veteran.
We're offering 140 performance-tested fall-registered Angus bulls. A volume number of our PAP-tested bulls are capable at any elevation, and many are recommended for heifers.
Register and view the bulls online at dvauction.com. For more information, go to our website or call 534-5865 or 532-1805.
When was the last time your loan officer helped you at harvest? Move cows? Brand? It's probably been quite some time or never. How can your loan officer understand your business by sitting behind a computer? At Montana Livestock, we take pride in the fact that we don't mind getting our hands dirty alongside our customers. To truly understand, one must experience it. At Montana Livestock, our credit officers have done just that. We all grew up on ag operations and have experienced what you face every day. Give myself, Chance Merrill, a call at 800-332-3405.
Well, the Biden administration's top ag official wants Congress and states across America to focus on a broader vision to our nation's agricultural economy. Speaking Monday to members of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack reiterated his familiar refrain of more, new, and better markets to boost producer profitability. And finally this morning, the Public Lands Council says we can expect debate over the rights of landowners and permittees to be front and center in environmental and natural resource decisions in this Congress. The newly approved House rules package includes provisions that make it easier to cede federal lands to state and local governments. Additionally, PLC says three bills were signed into law by the president that provided Native American groups ownership over lands previously managed by both the U.S. Forest Service and BLM. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemeth.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Montana Talks, live from the Capitol in Helena, day two of our coverage, sponsored by our friends at the Frontier Institute, helping to make this all happen. Full lineup, by the way, if you missed any of the lawmakers we got to catch up with yesterday, all 4 hours of the audio from yesterday's show already available on our Montana Talks app. So you can message us on the Montana Talks app. You can call the studio through the Montana Talks app. You can now have all 4 hours of yesterday's audio. But we got more great lawmakers stepping up to the microphone this morning here. State Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka. Great to see you, my friend. Thanks for joining us here at the Capitol.
Hey, it's great to be here this morning. Glad to see you up this early.
Yeah, we've kind of seen you all over the place. You took us to the Canadian border on Lake Coconusa.
Yes,
we've seen you in studio in Billings. You call in from the side of the road. But here we are in kind of another one of your backyards.
Well, I appreciate this venue that you have, this great, great radio talk show that reaches out so far across Montana, always dancing right on the issues of the moment, and good straight talk, good honest talk. So I appreciate the chance to be here.
Well, and if we screw it up, somebody's going to call in and hold us accountable. That's the best part. So.
Well, sounds like being a state senator.
That's right. It's been fun hearing about some of the individual pieces of legislation that the various lawmakers are working on. I know you of course, have been fighting for our rural electric cooperatives and standing up for, you know, protecting the
yep.
Snake River dams and hydropower. You've got a new piece of legislation in front of you that may see some action this week, as I understand it.
Yeah, a couple of things. I do have that one on the Snake River dams. That'll be coming forward in another week. One of the big ones that I'm very proud of is the timber production tax that helped protect some of the private timber that's available around the state, but in particularly up in the Northwest, where we're trying to get a little bit of forest products restarted. In addition, the big one I'm working on right now, actually we'll have the hearing on it tomorrow. I chair Senate state administration. It'll be coming in there tomorrow afternoon. And this SB 93 is a bill from the SAVA, State Administration Veterans Affairs Interim Committee. That it primarily reorganizes the statutes relating to the ballot initiative and referendum review process. That'll give us some clarity and consistency in what we're doing. The organization of the statutes in and of itself has great value, and that's where we started. And it's staggering when you start reading through this 41-page bill, but that's most of it is existing legislation that's being reorganized. But along the way, I was approached by a group of stakeholders, largely in the business industrial world. The community, these folks had been working on some potential updates to the ballot initiatives. So we put it all together. It's going to hit the floor tomorrow, 3 o'clock, and State Administration Committee.
Yeah, because if I've heard right, there's some organizations like maybe the Chamber of Commerce and others, they kind of want to team up to kind of make it to tighten up the procedures to make it a little harder to get things on the ballot. If you want to put, am I correct there? And what do you hope to do with your legislation? Are you hoping to make it easier or harder to get things on the ballot?
I won't exactly say harder, but. Definitely want to folks, they need to have a little skin in the game. If they're sometimes a number of folks have brought initiatives forwards and they got it into the process and there's a certain cost that gets involved, and then sometimes they just drop it and it doesn't go anyplace. So it's kind of like there's a certain cost that the state has to involve every time somebody gets to that point. So that is one thing that we're looking at as we think an improvement to the process is that there will be a fee up front. Now, if somebody has a problem with coming up with the money, there is a way that they can go ahead without it. That can be waived. However, later, when they file their papers with political practices, which they have to, then if it shows, hey, they did have the money, well, they would be held accountable, and there could be a triple fee on it. And they would also have the similar standards, the same as any political candidate running for office, that once they start the process, they will have a reporting calendar pretty similar to what candidates also do. And if they do not file reports on time, just like candidates, this year I think we had at least one candidate pulled off the ballot because he failed to keep up with his reporting to Political Practices Commission. The same thing will be held true for folks bringing an initiative.
For ballot initiatives, yes. As well. Well, and it's interesting, too. Earlier we were talking about how really now so much more focus and attention is on the states and is on state legislatures, in large part because of the fact that our federal government appears to be so inept and such a train wreck, and people are realizing that the real action, the real work, is being done in state houses all across the country, especially in red states like Montana and Florida, where we're getting things done. And so what you're going to see, I imagine, is you're going to see more and more of these organizations start to realize, maybe we should start taking advantage of not just the state legislatures, but these state ballot initiative processes. So I guess, are some folks worried that they might flood the zone with ballot initiatives, I guess?
And I guess I will say, I've said it before, I've said it ever since I first ran back in 2010, that the people do have a right, and there needs to be a way that they can enter the system in that fashion. If they're not totally satisfied with the procedure of the legislature, that they do have a way to bring in a new law that way. At the same time, you do not get the vetting, you do not get the similar process, and what you wind up so often is people call me up every election. How should I vote on this? What does this say? I don't
ballot
understand.
Confusion, yeah.
And they get so confused because of all the 20-second television spots and radio spots that bombard the airwaves, and it doesn't give them real explanations. They largely are emotional television spots, and people don't know even what it is. Whereas when it comes through the legislature, there is a very thorough vetting process. Not once, not twice, but three times. It goes through the House or the Senate, and then to the other body, and then it goes to the governor. And it is well vetted by the time it gets through the process.
That's right. That's right. Well, coming up after the break, I know Representative Steve Gunderson is going to drop by. One of your neighbors in Libby.
My partner's from Lincoln County, yeah.
Yes.
Steve's House District 1. I'm Senate District 1.
All right. Well, we'll talk with Representative Steve Gunderson coming up here in just a few seconds after our break. And, well, maybe Senator Mike Cuff will help us introduce Representative Gunderson out of Libby. We'll talk Northwest.
I'm proud of him. We work together on lots of things.
All right. Well, that's coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Call Aaron on the Parsec Data Management phone lines. 406-294-0970. Parsec Data Management, securing critical business IT. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I knew I saw this story somewhere, and it was via Twitter, Dory027. It was a UK Daily Mail story, a story from the UK Daily Mail. Northern border sees 743% spike in migrants trying to cross into the United States. 743% spike of people trying to cross illegally into the United States from the northern border. State Senator Mike Cuff, I was joking during the break. We've got two of the finest from the most remote corner of Northwest Montana. Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby, Senator Mike Cuff out of Eureka. You were telling me your house is like 4 miles from the Canadian border.
My house is 4 miles from the Canadian border, maybe 30 miles as the crow flies from Idaho. And actually, we have more illegal entries probably 5 miles straight across from my house. And we have had some bad guys come down, some guys that were wanted for murder big time in Toronto, I believe. And there's a number of all kinds of folks who have been apprehended. The folks who live up there, I'm not going to say it's a steady stream, but it happens often enough. They're pretty spooky of what's going on. Talked a number of times with Attorney General Austin Knutson. He does plan to come up and have a tour and talk to the folks one of these days.
Yeah, but I had emailed that story to myself so that when I get back in studio, I print it up and give it a little bit more time on air to talk about it as well. Well, introduce our friend Representative Steve Gunderson for us here.
Certainly will. Representative Steve Gunderson was very active years ago with trying to get some mining jobs going and helping Montanore fight the process. And as we were looking for somebody to replace, as Jerry Bennett was nearing his term limit, Senator Chaz Vincent and I sat down. I called Steve, and he was working on a rally at the time for Montanore. I called Steve, and Chaz and I sat down in the Venture Inn and talked with him about it. And the next thing we knew, we had him convinced to throw his hat in the ring.
And now,
so with that, I'm not going to steal his time
all
or
right.
his thunder.
Well, Senator Cuff, good to see you. Yeah, thanks.
We work mutually on lots of the stuff he'll be talking about.
All right. Well, thanks for dropping in. That. Yeah, Representative Gunderson, good to see you. Now, chair of the
House Natural Resources.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you want to tell our listeners about across the state?
Well, thank Mike for everything he does. And I think Mike left out one minor little detail about the northern border. There's not an influx of just people. There's an influx of a huge amount of fentanyl, other drugs coming across that way, too.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think we kind of overlook, but we need to keep a far better view of that. And I think Austin needs to go up there as AG and get a view of it.
Yeah, and I know he's all over this issue, but yeah, you're right. I think a high-profile visit would certainly put the spotlight, especially in light of these new numbers that we're getting about a 743% spike in illegal immigration along our along our northern border. Yeah, you're trying to get through some changes, revising some of the the Energy Policy Act here in Montana. Some other laws like that. Really, we've got some dusty old rules and regulations that are on the books from days of old that are really preventing Montana from really modernizing in a lot of ways.
Well, HB 170 is actually repealing a portion of the MCA that is really only lofty goals. And you're correct, it doesn't look into the future. And I don't want the state of Montana to be hamstrung in the future with technologies that we don't even know exist yet. And I really laugh at what people tell me that, please don't do away with our energy policy. What they don't realize is our energy policy is integrated and interwoven into our MCA in 14 different statutes, and it basically tells each of the agencies how to deal with energy policies. So we're really not taking anything away from the policy itself. It's just we're taking out of a section of bloated goals that don't have any teeth. I feel that Governor Gianforte should have some say in that, as other governors have in the past. I was hearing words of disparaging remarks that I was stealing the thunder of the legislature, and I beg to differ. It's a mutual thing. We need to work with our administration, and I think giving Governor Gianforte a clean slate on the energy policy is a first step.
Seems like we've got to figure something out. Whatever our energy policy has been under the last 16 years of the Democrat governors clearly is not working. Montana now, we used to be a net exporter. We produced enough power, we'd sell it to other states. Now, that's no longer the case because of 16 years of Democrat governors and these radical environmental groups running rampant with these liberal judges we've got in some of the district courts at the liberal Montana Supreme Court, the federal judges that have been put on the bench over the years by Tester, Baucus, and others. And so we're really in some really concerning times as a state from an energy portfolio standpoint. Anyway, your thoughts?
Well, we're the poster child for what's happening all across the U.S. North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Texas. I can name off all the major oil and gas fields, and each one of those are being stymied. New pipelines to supply vast amounts of gas that we have domestically. And they aren't being delivered to the people that need them because pipelines won't be built. So again, our energy policy at a federal level is just as dismal as I think what our energy policy is in Montana.
Yeah, and now we've got the ability. There's a Republican supermajority, a Republican governor. Now the ability to actually make some changes to get things going back in the right direction. It's going to take some time, though. We've got people wondering what's the future of Colstrip right now from an energy standpoint. Do we build pipelines for the CO2 to support Denbury's enhanced oil recovery operations in south central and southeastern Montana? Do we eventually convert it to a nuclear facility if the attacks on coal keep going like they're doing in Wyoming? Or do we fight to do something again with 1 and 2? I don't know. Your thoughts as the natural resources chairman?
Well, again, that's the name of the game, natural resources. And they're God-given natural resources to the citizens of Montana, and we should be able to utilize them, harvest them, and reap the rewards from them. I guess my biggest problem, the energy policy that we have isn't really all of the above, and that's where we need to be. So if it isn't going to be all of the above, then let's clean the slate, let's start over. And those folks that are opposing it, give me some suggestions. Let's fill it back up. The governor, I'm sure, would be more than happy to fill up those ideas in a better worded and maybe shorter versed energy policy.
Yeah. Well, 1 minute to go before our break. Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby, great to see you. Anything else you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
Just happy to be here and enjoying the session. Some challenges, and, you know, if life was easy, it wouldn't be fun.
Are there some things we can do at the state level to try to get these mines up and running to assist with all the minerals that we're going to need, whether it's electric vehicles or who knows what?
Well, if we can get back to harvesting the resources that we were given, I think we could get back on track and put people to work and harvest those natural resources and use them responsibly and mine them responsibly, and timber, same thing.
All right. Well, Representative Steve Gunderson, great to see you. Thanks for joining us here at the Capitol for our live show.
Thank you. Excuse me, and I enjoy being here. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. All right, coming up after the next break, I see Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elsie Arntzen, in the house. And, of course, she knows a thing or two about the legislature. She's not only a former school teacher, she served in the state legislature as well. And, of course, now is Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction. And a lot of talk about schools, a lot of talk about parental rights. That's a big topic that lawmakers here are talking about this week. So looking forward to hearing Elsie Arntzen's take right after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have a huge library of Biden documents sitting in the University of Delaware. And by the way, they've been there since 2012, an arrangement that Biden made when he was vice president and then contemplated a run for the presidency. And he's now locked those records away by giving them to the university, which has claimed now for over a decade that they're still working on organizing and cataloging the documents. Really? For over a decade? Anyway, he's refused to allow the public or the press to see any of the documents. Anyway, the university has been used for years to shield potentially embarrassing documents from public review.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
War, inflation, and over $31 trillion in debt. It's looking like 2008 all over again. Millions of Americans watch their retirement savings disappear, while those who invested in physical gold and silver were protected. And if you have $50,000 or more in your IRA, 401k, or savings, you could be at risk again. Right now, thousands of Americans are using an IRS loophole to add physical gold and silver to their retirement savings. So call 855-815-GOLD to get a free gold IRA kit and learn how thousands are protecting their retirement savings with gold and silver. Protect your savings, and as a Sean Hannity fan, you could get up to $10,000 and free silver to do it. Goldco has an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, thousands of customer reviews, and they've helped place over $1 billion in precious metals. We could be looking at a recession worse than 2008, so don't...
Thompson Pools.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I tell you what, our schools, parents' rights, all of these topics are getting a lot of attention here from Montana lawmakers based on all the discussions we've been having here in the Montana Capitol over the past couple of days. So great to see Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elsie Arntzen, here with us for our live show from the Montana Capitol. Thanks to our friends at the Frontier Institute. Elsie, good to see you.
Good morning. You know, yeah. It's a beautiful morning across our state, and kids are brushing their teeth and sticking in that piece of toast and going to be heading out the door to school.
Beautiful morning. Have you seen the roads out there between Billings and Bozeman? No, I'm joking.
Oh, come on. We're Montana.
We're used to it. Yeah.
This is springtime, right?
Drive on. Yeah, exactly. It's still, it's not 50 below zero, so it's not really cold out there right now. Well, what are some of the bills you're tracking here before the Montana legislature?
Well, very, very pleased. You know, we are a $2 billion enterprise. We're 51 cents of every tax dollar in Montana. So we've been watching a bill, and it's our number one. I call it the Montana Promise. It promises that the legislature takes public education and education, period, seriously. So House Bill 15, carried by Representative Beattie, he's out of Ravalli, is carrying that $2 billion budget bill, and we need to get it to the governor's desk. It's passed the House, and it is moved into the Senate, had its hearing yesterday in the Senate. We're going to put it on the governor's desk before the end of February. That's the promise that the legislature will fulfill, and it'll go in House Bill 2, and then it'll get ready where our school districts, 400 of them across our state, can start preparing the budget for this next school year.
It's very interesting because when you talk about the education budget, big picture, here's Republicans control the legislature. We now have a Republican governor. We've got a Republican superintendent. And Republicans are looking, you know, they've already done this. They've already provided new incentives to help entry-level teacher pay, to help those entry-level teachers that are, you know, trying to work in Montana, trying to be school teachers in Montana. And yet the Democrats, on contrast, are standing up for these radical, woke, left-wing institutions and out-of-state organizations. And It's just interesting. Like, they're pushing this radical agenda. They're pushing a radical agenda that sometimes even the teachers themselves don't want. And isn't it just interesting that now it's the Republicans that are ones standing up for the teachers, standing up for the parents?
Standing up for common sense. Let's say that, Aaron. And that's who we are in Montana. You know, all those things that are coming into our state, I've said, are distractions. You know, our teachers across our state teaching math and reading and science, teaching common sense. We don't need any of those ideologies that are a distraction for our children. And I have stood on the Capitol steps, I don't know how many times, saying, parents are our first teacher. So let's honor and respect that relationship with parents and schools.
I don't know who gave the analogy yesterday. I forget which legislator it was. I'm calling it the gas station analogy. And they made the point that, like, there's certain obscene materials that you can't, that a little kid can't walk into a gas station and view these materials. But there's exemptions for libraries and for schools to be able to show these obscene materials. Lawmakers in the legislature are now trying to fix this. What's your thoughts?
Well, I came in support of Representative Phelan's bill. It is common sense. We don't want that pornographic material distributed in our schools. And it should be common sense that our adults recognize that if we have a five-year-old in our public school system, that we should be teaching the basics, not those other things that come into an adult world. Let's respect our children, and let's respect the opportunity of public school. Let's elevate that profession of being a public school teacher. I was one for 23 years, fifth grade. Gotta love those 10 and 11-year-olds.
That's right. Well, Superintendent Elsie Arntzen, if you want to stick around, feel free. We'd love to talk more with you. We do got to get to our national news update here, and then we'll be back in about, less than 10 minutes. So good opportunity to get some coffee, and then we'll talk more here after the break. Montana Talks live from the Capitol, thanks to our friends at the Frontier Institute, who will be joining us later this morning here at the Capitol.
This is where Montana talks.
Here at the SHOT Show, and we're going up the escalator, and you made some remark, man, you could take over a small country with the people in this building right now. And I was like, you could take over a small country with six of the guys in this building right now. And that guy pipes up, he's like, if it's the right six.
Yeah. That guy didn't, you know how we were joking. Well, he took that as serious. He's like, wait, we got to pick the right six.
I think he handed you his business card if you're interested in taking over a small country.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studio.